Our gospel lesson includes the last words that Simeon spoke to Mary regarding the Christ child. And then our text for the sermon will pick up on the immediate next verse. From Luke chapter 2, "And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is to be opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise be to Christ. And please receive this, our scripture lesson for the sermon. "Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord, and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem." Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said, Heavenly Father, you are our rock and our fortress. Do pray that we will be found in you, not having a righteousness of our own that we should boast of, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. For you, O Lord, are conforming us to his image. Shape us now by your word. Spirit of God, be present and convict and change and confirm. We pray this in the matchless name of Jesus, and amen. From Leviticus 19:32, "You shall rise before the gray-headed, and you shall honor the presence of an old man and fear your God, for I am the Lord." Our passage today introduces us to an elderly woman, and we would do well to rise as we honor her. She is honorable, and she honored our Savior, Jesus Christ. The elderly woman is named Anna. This brief passage is included with the events of Joseph and Mary and Jesus arriving in the temple. They came to the temple to offer the sacrifices according to the law. That is where they met Simeon, and Simeon met them. And this is where we meet Anna. It is interesting that there is no mention of any interaction between Anna and Joseph and Mary and Jesus. No mention at all. Anna does not speak to them, and they do not speak to Anna. Anna does not reach out, from what we can see, and take hold of the Christ child as Simeon did. She does not hold the child in her weathered hands. We are simply told that Anna was there. We are given some of her history, and we are told of her presence and practices in the temple. I was reading this in the original languages, and I was struck by how blunt and stark our passage opens. It opens in a most blunt way. This is what it says in Greek. "And she was Anna, a prophetess." Simeon has sung, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace." Joseph and Mary were amazed at the things Simeon was saying and singing. An elderly man lifting his voice. A weathered voice, likely. Lifting his hands. "Lord, now you are letting me die, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Simeon then turned to Joseph and Mary and blessed them. And then he specifically looked at Mary and he spoke to Mary. "Behold, this child is appointed, set, destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel. Oh, and by the way, a sword will pierce your own soul, Mary." Not just a little sword, not a letter opener, but a ramphia, a big broad sword. There shall be a devastating blow to you. He shall also be a sign which will be spoken against. Then the bluntness. And she was Anna, a prophetess. This is not there for just filler. Why is this included in that way, so bluntly, so starkly, in such a barren way? And she was Anna, a prophetess. Today I'd like us to share three observations about Anna, and then I'd like to end with a question for each one of us. Three observations about Anna, for our passage bluntly begins, "And she was Anna, a prophetess." The first observation is this: Anna was in the temple. Anna was in a place of worship. It was Anna's practice to be in the place of worship. Anna was in the temple. A blunt passage? Let's consider. Anna in the temple, day and night, with fasting and prayers. What ought to be done? Perhaps this passage isn't as stark as we think. Perhaps it is not as barren as we think. For a child has been born, a son has been given. The barrenness has been removed. Anna is in the temple. What this ought to do is to remind us of another temple, and another child, and another Anna, another Hannah. The name's the same. Hannah. Anna. You will recall that in the Old Testament, Hannah, the mother of Samuel, was in the temple, longing for a child. And a son of promise was given. And she responded how? 1 Samuel chapter 2, that Hannah, responded with song and praise. And what we usually do at this time of year, what's commonly done, is that we recognize the connections between Hannah's song, 1 Samuel 2, and Mary's song. Hannah's Magnificat and Mary's Magnificat. We see the connections, and it is right to do. We should do that. Both of them, Hannah and Mary, previously were barren women. Both of them, after the giving of a son, rejoice and praise the Lord in song. We should see the connections. But here, we have one by the same name. Hannah there, Anna here. She's also in the temple, and she's a woman of devotion, fasting and prayers. Verse 37 says, night and day. We are meant to see the connection between Hannah and Anna. Then, in the Old Testament, to Hannah, a son was given. Here, near Anna, the son is present. Then, in the Old Testament, to Hannah, the son that was given was named Samuel, heard by God. That's what Samuel means. Here, near Anna, the child that is present, the son that is present, is the Word of God given. The Word of God given. So the very first observation we should share today is that Anna is a woman of worship. She's in the place of the presence of God. She's a woman of worship. The second observation is this: Anna is a woman of the Word. The Word is going into her. The Word is going out of her. You could call it her imports and her exports. She is marked by the Word of God. Anna in our passage is called a prophetess. She's a woman of the Word. She's one who brings forth the Word. She was of the tribe of Asher. She's called a daughter of Phanuel. Now, what is this? Phanuel. Phanuel is related to the name, similar to the name, Peniel. Peniel. Peniel, you will know by looking back at the Old Testament, is the place of the face of God. So she's a woman of worship. She's in a place of the worship of God. But she's a daughter of Peniel. She's a daughter of Phanuel. She is someone of the face of God. Peniel was the place where Jacob wrestled with the Lord. Genesis 32. Jacob, after that wrestling match, named that place. I'm going to call this place Peniel. And this is what he said. For I have seen God face to face. Peniel means face of God. I've seen God face to face, and I'm still alive. My life is preserved. So here we have a woman of worship and a woman of the Word, a daughter of Peniel, a daughter of Phanuel, and she actually sees the face of God, the incarnate Son. Anna. That's not all. The word goes forth from her. Remember, she's a prophetess? Take a look at verse 38. And coming in that instant, or coming in at that very hour, now apparently it was Anna's practice to be at the temple every day. She was known to be there from the dark hours to the dark hours, from evening to morning. Oh, and then the morning dark would give way to light. Somehow, at that very hour or at that very instant, she encountered or noticed that Joseph and Mary and Jesus were coming in at that very instant, right then. And what does she do? The text very clearly says she gave thanks to the Lord. She gave thanks to God. And she spoke of Him to all who are waiting for redemption in Jerusalem. When the word of the Lord is upon someone, it leads to certain expressions. I've said this so often to the younger people of this congregation. I've said this to the men in prison. I've said this at the College Station Bible study. I'll say it here again. If you are not in the Word, don't expect the Word to be in you. Give it up. But when someone is in the Word, and you bump into them, there are certain expressions that happen. There are certain ways that they respond. This is a lady at that very instant, upon the sight of the Christ child, she bursts into thanks. She goes forth into gratitude. This is what came out first. Bump into her, what sloshes out? It's what's right at the top of the vessel. Gratitude. Thanksgiving. She sees Jesus, and she immediately addresses the Lord, "Thank you." But there's more. It's actually a bit more than thank you. This is not the Greek word eucharistos or eucharisteo, where we get the word Eucharist, I give thanks. That's not the word. This is actually a compound word. There's something more than just thanks, which we tend to reduce thanks to something that's graceless. This is a compound word. It's a compound word of anthem and confession. Anthem and confession. Anna is there. She's been leaning into this. Jesus shows up. What does she do? She gives an anthem of confession. This is what I have been expecting. This is what I have been waiting for. This is what we should all be waiting for. And you know what? She doesn't just keep it to herself. Her thanksgiving, her anthem of confession is not, "Oh Lord, thank you. This is good." She starts speaking to other people. She couldn't keep it in. She's going out to others. And she goes around and starts speaking to others who are waiting for what? You've been looking for redemption? You've been looking for hope? I want to talk to you about it. I want to talk to you about it. It just starts gushing out of this lovely, elderly woman. She's a woman of worship. She's a woman of the Word. Our third observation. Anna was a mature woman. Now, how do you get to maturity? Let's be blunt. You will never grow to maturity unless you are a man or woman of worship, a man or woman of the Word. This passage is not as barren as we might think. Anna is a mature woman. Now, we noted last week that it is commonly thought that Simeon was an older man. Well, with Anna, old age is not a question. Anna was an older mature woman. The days of her youth have departed. And the Bible doesn't hesitate to speak in this way. Look at verse 36. This translation says, "Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age." No shame. She was of a great age. Another translation says, "She was advanced in years." I decided to look at this in the original Greek as well. And it says something like this. She had gone ahead. She was advanced in many days. She had gone ahead. Down that road of days, she had gone way ahead. Where's Anna? Way up there. There she is. She's preceding us. Anna is, according to our text, at least 84 years of age. She had been married for 7 years, and she has been a widow for the majority of her life. She's a widow. A beautiful, lovely, worshipful, word-saturated widow. This aged woman displays a seasoned loveliness. Worship, word, and maturity. Today, there seems to be a present and abiding suspicion or hesitation of age, old age, the elderly, the mature. Scratch and sniff, this is present among many in our day. There seems to be a highly polished idol of endless adolescence, perpetual childhood. It's erected throughout the land, and it is found in many hearts. A long for the good old days. This pursuit and service of endless adolescence is not simply that which is marked by the calendar. How old are you? It is also that which is seen in behavior, speech, intentions, thinking, desires. There seems to be a glorying in youth and a disdain for age. Well, certainly, there's just a few verses about this elderly woman. Let's just get on in the story. There seems to be a clamor for youthful vigor that would make the searches of Ponce de Leon seem weak. Or that little tale by Nathaniel Hawthorne in which he referenced one Dr. Heidegger who found some of that elixir of life, that effervescent bubbly stuff that could make a wilted rose spring back to youthful vigor that he shared with three elderly men and one elderly woman. Drink. Oh yes, that's what we want. Attitudes are childish. The cosmetic quest for youth seems to be at full throttle, and surgeries and suctions are purchased and pursued with economic vigor. However, biblically, there is a biblical beauty when age and wisdom are joined together. Age and wisdom joined together. There is something woeful, there's something tragic when someone who is of mature age and yet immature in spirit or behavior or speech or practice. Mature of age, but a disdain for the worship of God. Mature of age, but they really never spent much time in the Word, and therefore the Word is not in them. We expect a 2-year-old to act like a 2-year-old, and we call them the terrific twos. It is a shame when a 22-year-old or a 32-year-old acts that way. There comes a time, and we heard this in our epistle reading earlier, the Apostle Paul referred to this There comes a time when we need to put away childish things. There, he said that when he was a child, a nepios, an infant, he spoke and he understood and he thought like such. That was appropriate for the age. But a day came, Paul said, when he became a man, and such things were inappropriate then. Oh, and what is that? That's the blossoming and the existence of love. Love, when it is present, it grows. The boy into a man, the girl into a lady, the son into a Simeon, and the daughter into an Anna. My dear friend, Pastor Jack Phelps, speaks of the expectation, biblically, of maturity in years with a maturity in wisdom. He says it ought to go together in the Christian. And this is the way he phrases it to his congregation. Wisdom does not necessarily come with age, but it never comes without it. Are we growing into wisdom? Young men, young women, what's before you? Each one of us, as we grow older, are supposed to progress into maturity. We are to have our years marked by the life of the Spirit of God. A greater likeness of Jesus Christ ought to be occurring. And we are to be clothed in the garments of godliness. Age is supposed to be graced with grace. We should be like Anna. Anna, in her age, did not hesitate to speak of Jesus. How did that come about? All of a sudden, one day, did she wake up at the age of 84 and think, I need to start speaking about Jesus? No. When did that begin? It doesn't occur overnight. Listen again. The preacher, Koheleth, at the very end of Ecclesiastes, says this: remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Whatever your age is, for you are younger than someone else, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the difficult days come, and when the years draw near, and you say with a sigh, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened and the clouds do not return after the rain. And then he goes into this beautiful poetic description of age and aging. In the days when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows are dim, when the doors are shut in the streets, there's a lot less activity, and the sound of the grinding is low, there's a lot less work. When one rises up at the sound of a bird, what time is it? And all the daughters of music are brought low. Can you please repeat that? When all the daughters of music are brought low. Also, they are afraid of the height and of terrors in the way. And the almond tree blossoms, and the grasshopper is a burden, and its desire fails. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. How do we become like Anna? Over the days, over the years, over the minutes and the hours. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is your all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. This is why children are included here. This is why children are included here. Because children, you are part of this community. You shall be growing into age. So we worship together, the older and the younger, the men and the women, the little ones with the seasoned ones. Here, children are shown, this is who you are, and this is who you shall become. This is why children are addressed as part of the covenant community. Children, pay attention. So, let us end this calendar year. And now, as we have begun a new church year, let us begin with this question: where are you headed? Three observations: a woman of worship, a woman of the Word, and a woman of maturity. And our question: where are you headed? If the Lord grants you years, as He has done so far, what kind of a man or a woman will you be in your latter and declining years? It doesn't happen overnight, but it happens through daily faithfulness. There was evening, there was morning, a new day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your faithfulness and your faithful testimony seen in your servants throughout the pages of Scripture. Spirit of God, continue to shape us, convict us where we need convicting, and confirm us where we need confirmation. We pray this in the matchless name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, Amen.